I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Molly Thomas,
and we love scams. We love scams. We love you. We love a tax evasion case.
Oh boy.
You'd think a reality star in 2022 would figure out you have to pay your taxes.
You would.
But they haven't.
You know what? But then again, I also wonder, is it a requirement that if you are a reality star, you're not actually allowed to pay taxes?
Well, yeah, I think they all believe. They're like, look, we got this far. And they're talking to each other and they're like, okay, Teresa Giudice got in a lot of trouble, but not us. Not us, guys.
No. We can get away.
It's so crazy.
I don't understand how, and we're talking about the Chrisleys, which you know from.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. I don't understand how you can live day to day without just constantly sweating.
Yeah.
Going through this.
He must be. So the reality show we're talking about is Chrisley Knows Best. And then he has a bunch of spinoff shows. They're on their 10th season. He has, his kids are knowing great things best. And he has a dating show in a limo, which is like very weird and creepy. And I will say, when I've never watched the show. And so we're reporting on the evidence given, you know, recently, not reporting on the show as fans, because when I turned on the show, he made me so uncomfortable.
The big story for me personally about this is when you sent me the information about it, I was so shocked, not at the crime, the alleged crime. No,
They were convicted.
They were convicted. They just haven't been sentenced. Yeah. Okay.
They're going to appeal it.
Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to say alleged. Okay. Cause it's so obvious.
Yeah.
The shocking thing to me was that I had never in my life heard of these people or seen their faces or heard of the TV show. And I think it's like, it was just shocking to my system that there's a television show, a reality television show that's very successful that I did not even know, and a spinoff that I didn't even know existed. Like if you showed me a 20-second clip of the show and like a picture with the cast and you said, yeah. Is this a real show or a parody of a reality show? I really think I would have picked parody.
And you know what? That's the thing. Because I think why I hated it is because they take themselves so seriously. And it's like, you guys look like clowns. Oh. Like, just your teeth are bigger than any teeth I've ever seen. The hairs, the Botox is gone up to their nostrils. Like, they're just Botox their whole face. And they're doing this in sincerity that they believe. Well, I mean, I guess also with all these reality shows, the editors and everybody watching it are making fun of them. But the fact that it wasn't, they had no sense of humor of themselves from the beginning is just, it's bonkers. And also, like, he seems very, very effeminate and very, very, I thought the story was going to be that, like, he came out and he has this beautiful family and then he's also dealing with, like, his sexuality. And none of that was ever covered. He's extremely Christian, extremely intense, family values. And I just thought the little clips I saw with him and his daughter and the way he talked about her and her body or look, her hair, I just was like, this is so, it was so obvious somebody was living in some sort of like dream sequence that I did not want to co-sign.
Oh, for me at all, because he's had massive plastic surgery, which I think is a plot line on the show. I also clearly have not. I watched some clips last night.
Guys, if you're listeners of Chrisley Knows Best, tell us why and what kept you going and were there scandals? Like, I want to know. I want to do a mailbag episode where somebody says, like, I'm a Chrisley
head.
Yeah, I'm a Chrisley head and I'm into this. If you are, I'd love to know.
Just the major plot points.
Yeah.
I learned a little bit about the Lindsay drama that started in the beginning and then has kept going. So I know some of the major.
We covered that. We did an episode on her, and we did Sue and I in season one. We did an episode about how the family was like holding this sex tape over her, and we mentioned that she said, "Well, they're doing tax evasion in 2019." Because I remember it was. Like, yeah, it was pre-COVID. I was in Maryland and it was like our first Zoom call. Sue was in LA. And so we talked about it. And I remember thinking, like, that's not going to go very well.
Right.
She's not going to go great.
Yeah. The like snap thing that does it for me when I look at Todd Chrisley and I'm like, you're lying. Like, you're lying. Every moment of this is a lie. And not just in an edited, produced reality show way is.
Yes.
His shoulders are so stiff and like right up to his ears. And
I'm reading such a block.
Yes. Energetically, he's so blocked. And seeing that, I'm just like, oh, you're lying. Oh, this whole thing is.
Yes. With a confident pose, like with his legs crossed, with a confident and with an arrogance in him, like just this arrogance of like, we know what's best. We're showing you the way. And like, it's bizarre. It is so bizarre. He makes me so uncomfortable. Now, I'm sure that is why somebody would want to watch it. And then these shows are great at editing, of making you like so curious what the next episode's going to be. Like, I don't blame anyone for watching it because I've watched so much trash, but I just haven't jumped into the Chrisley universe until recently when they did some crazy ass shit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, really, the show is edited like it's like any other reality show where they follow a family, where they're in the family's house, and then it's largely produced. So it's really it's like the Kardashians, it's like the Osbournes,
right. any
of those, except I've never heard of these people. They're to me, these people are not famous, and so I just can't believe they swindled their way into getting a show in the first place.
Same, but it's so weird. So they started their show in Georgia and then they moved to Tennessee. So I think they are like on that circuit I saw pictures of them. The only like pictures I saw was at CMT, like Country Music Festival or Awards, CMA. And so it did sort of appear, now this is so crazy, and I'm sure you have this research too, but right before their show aired, Todd Chrisley declared bankruptcy. Right before their show started. So before anything happened, we meet them, whatever, he has a show coming out, he declares bankruptcy, which is so shady.
And then they put everything, because they knew they were going to have this money coming in, they put everything in Julie's name.
Yes. So they declared bankruptcy and then, okay, according to the U.S. attorney, now I'm looking at the justice.gov, I'm looking at the breakdown online, and this is based on their case that it was just happened, and this is what the background that the prosecutors are giving us. According to the U.S. attorney, Buchanan, Buchanan, whatever. Before Todd and Julie Chrisley became reality television stars, they conspired to defraud community banks in the Atlanta area to obtain more than $30 million in personal loans. The Chrisleys, with the help of their former business partner, submitted false bank statements, audit reports, personal financial statements to banks to obtain the millions of dollars in fraudulent loans. The Chrisleys then spent the money on luxury cars, designer clothes, real estate, and travel, and used new fraudulent loans to pay back old loans. After spending all the money, Todd Chrisley filed for bankruptcy and walked away from more than $20 million of the fraudulent obtained loans. And this is so crazy. So in 2014, further evidence showed that while Todd Chrisley was in bankruptcy proceedings, Julie Chrisley gained, again, manufactured financial documents and lied to real estate agents to obtain a luxury rental house in Los Angeles, California. As soon as the Chrisleys began renting the house, they failed to pay rent and the homeowner filed an eviction lawsuit. And then they, around that time when Todd Chrisley filed for bankruptcy, the Chrisleys became the stars of their own reality show.
And the reality show was not about that.
No, I don't. It wasn't even about all the crazy tax evasion that they can't pay rent on condos. Like, that blows me away. Oh. That here they are. They're acting like these good old, good home people. They have good family values, and they can't wait to defraud community banks in the Atlanta area. That's their first thing.
Oh.
That's out of control. So it's just like all of those typical schemes that we've seen where they steal from Peter to pay Paul, or Pac, whatever they're called, that's called, Mary to pay Paul and Peter, and everyone's inside. And when they get stuck, they declare bankruptcy. And here's the crazy thing. Did you see this? Okay, so one day after the IRS requested information about bank accounts in Julie Chrisley's name, the Chrisleys transferred ownership of the corporate bank account to Todd Chrisley's mother in an effort to further hide his income from the IRS, all while Todd Chrisley operated the loan out company behind the scenes and controlled the company's purse strings. So he sent it all to his mama.
Hey,
they put her in this too. Can you believe it?
I mean, Faye's on the show too. Faye's a major part of the show.
Yes.
And her sister, Tammy. Aunt Tammy.
Faye. I'm sure they have something in Tammy's name. I'm sure.
Oh.
Because if Faye's there, you got to add Tammy.
Yeah.
They're a package deal. Yeah. So it was so insane. So
there was even one thing. I don't know why this seems like the wildest, because all of this is going to come out, obviously, especially when you have a reality
show. It's going to come out. Yes.
Okay. In 2014, 2 years after the alleged bank fraud scheme, they used fabricated bank statements and a credit report that had been physically cut and taped or glued together when trying to obtain that lease in California. They don't give a shit. They literally cut and pasted.
The rules don't apply to them.
Oh.
That's insane. That is insane. So, they so haphazard. Now, here's the crazy thing. They had filed to pay tax returns or pay taxes in 2013, 14, 15, and 16. So they had been doing this for so long.
Yeah, for four
They're
years.
Like, why pay now?
Yeah, just didn't pay taxes.
And so in 2019, so when we were talking about, he has this weird thing with his daughter who's mad at the family. And they were like, Sue and I reported about like this weird sex tape they were extorting her because she hooked up with Robbie from The Bachelor. It's so shady. She said during that time, you know, you can come after me, but I'm going to reveal like your tax issues. And that actually put, I believe, the FBI, maybe the FBI was already in it, because if I know anything about reality TV stars, it's that the FBI loves reality TV. It doesn't matter who you think you are, how elevated you think you are. The FBI girls and guys are addicted to The Real Housewives, to Chrisley, to every reality TV. They cannot get enough. They are downing it in doses. And their daughter, Lindsay, makes some statement like, okay, you can put out my sex tape, but I'll talk about your tax evasion issues. And that, they said that was when it started sort of the wheels in motion. But I believe these FBI agents have been watching them for years, because FBI loves
TV. Just, you know, all they're doing, they're just in the Hoover building in front of the TV.
Laughing it up.
just, they're like, this is what we're going to be working on the next year, guys. So let's just get a head start.
And training to be in the FBI is very hard. You know, they worked very hard to get there. Maybe they just needed to sit down and take a breath.
Yeah.
You know, and that breath happens to be the most disgusting reality TV you can imagine.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? And I do, and I will say, I just, in general, I just have a bone to pick with American reality television show because...
Tell me.
Well, it's so dumb.
Yes.
In general, it's so dumb. It is. And so much of the time is spent like recapping.
Yes.
Into and out of the commercial break. Like they're squeezing, they're making 15 minutes of content.
15.
22 minutes. They're stretching it out like that. And
exactly.
British reality shows. Although
British is so.
I mean, when I say British reality shows, really what I'm obsessed with are the competition shows, like Great Pottery Throwdown.
I haven't seen it, but I've been watching Great British Bake Off. I've been watching the other crafting toy one.
I haven't seen the crafting toy.
I have to look it up. It's like where they bring antiques.
Oh, yes.
But I call it crafting toy because I only think of teddy bears when I think of that show.
Yeah, it's the most fun stuff. It's like, this was my grandmother's teddy bear.
I know.
That was the worst British toy I've ever done.
It's fine.
But there's no like rehashing, like,
yes,
coming up
God.
After the break, this teddy bear will be, you know, emptied out, stuffed, and sewn. There's none of that garbage.
How many stitches? Guess when we get back to after the commercial.
Right.
I know.
I don't know why in the United States they think that we need so much drama with our reality television shows.
It's true.
Personally, all I want is just to like watch somebody turn clay on a wheel or like unstuff a teddy bear.
Yes. British TV is just better because I think also I have a feeling that the British viewers are like, don't make me feel stupid.
I mean, we are, and we are admittedly ignoring like the Love Island. There's still that garbage over there.
There's still that, but I think at the same time, I don't think they do as many recaps or coming next and coming to and coming. Like in The Bachelorette, you have like one person pick her nose and it's like, this week on The Bachelorette, the most insane thing you've ever seen. And everyone's tweeting on it and it's like, she picked her nose. Yeah, that was it.
It's like they're announcing a monster truck rally commercial.
They are every reality show. But here's the thing. I do, like when I do like a reality American show, they get me hooked because they get me nervous. And I'm like, I can't stop watching. And then it is something stupid to put in the background. And I think Americans like feeling that they're smarter, a real dumbed down, simply played out story. Americans like feeling that they're smarter then, which is great. Fine. Enjoy that. But I also, I can't stand all of the like time it takes before and after each single thing that happens.
It's funny that you say like, yes, here's what it is, and it's great, because as I was thinking about recording this episode and thinking about this show, I have to read this because it's so ridiculous, but also I believe it, but it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was like, what we're talking about, this is a battle for the soul of the nation.
Really?
I did, and here's why. It has actually very little to do with the Chrisleys.
I love that.
But it has more to do with how we spend our time and how okay is it to just like numb ourselves and kill time with television, which by the way, I am so incredibly guilty. So again, this is an episode just about me and looking at my life choices.
I want the episodes about you. Those are the best episodes. but people don't come here for the facts. They come here for the fun. You know, it's like
look
we talk about
Chrisleys.
It. Yeah, you can Google whatever you want. So yeah, I think it is an example of how things can go so well for someone who's American, who's trying to extort the system and just show how rich they are.
And we value that. Like USA that produces this show has decided like, yes, people will want to watch that. Okay.
Yes.
And we do, even though I don't watch the show, I watch other reality shows. So I will group myself into this.
Yeah.
We do. We say, I want to watch people be stupid. I mean, the other thing is like, what they focus on the show is just like, who's going to wear the Santa costume to hand out presents at the Christmas brunch? Like, and that's 15 minutes. of the episode.
But I do think it makes people feel... So here's... Actually, I love that we're talking about this. So I think it makes people feel very, very smart to watch people be incredibly stupid and zone out that way. Because the other option is you can zone out with something like the Hallmark Channel, which people make fun of. And they're like, oh, the Hallmark Channel is just lovey. Like, it's pointless. But that also is something that's just sort of a comfort that can play in the background that you can just... There's no risk in it. You know they're going to fall in love at the end. Like, people, I think, need comfort television, but there's this mm-hmm. elitist feeling that, like, well, my comfort television is really turning the tables and making fun of the happy couple, and you're just watching a happy couple. Like, it's so funny how no one can admit that, like, sometimes we need to check out. The world right now is terrifying. The world is so hard. We're all just so overworked, overspent in every way that we do need to check out. But
right.
You will only allow yourself or claim that you can check out. Or like somebody watching wants to hang out and watch sports events. Like, you could say, like, sports are so much more elite. Well, every time I watch basketball, I fall asleep, Molly. It's like a pendulum. They go back and forth on the court and I can't stay awake.
No.
These are like high stakes, but for me, just doesn't do it. So that's the thing. It is this idea that that's a huge chunk of America, is that, like, if you have the most money, showcasing the most stuff, faking it all, that's a form of entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. But you know, it's so interesting. So the Chrisleys have all these shows coming out on E! Because the Kardashians left and went to Hulu.
Oh.
Yeah. They're now at Hulu. And it's a big, huge thing because at the end of their... They left E! And they did their, like, 10th year or whatever. And it was this big, huge, like, goodbye Kardashians. And it was this huge anniversary and all this, always on television, of, like, the retrospect of, like, all the years of Kardashians were in our lives. Well, they quit, quote unquote, the show because Kourtney said she didn't want to do it anymore. Like, blatantly said, like, I don't want to be on TV anymore. And then within a couple of months, it was that they were going to have their own new show on Hulu with just, like, different fonts and, like, different, like, background titles. And it's the show again. That they're all in charge of again. So all that, like, goodbye and miss you and all that attention they got isn't real. And now they're doing it for this show. And I don't know about you, Molly, but, like, everywhere on social media, they are just shown to me constantly. Like, anytime I'm on my Instagram, anything, I'm just constantly getting shown Kim Kardashian all day long. Now, they renewed Chrisley's because they don't have the Kardashians, and the Kardashians are on Hulu. So they're, like, pumping that all. So now I think they were hoping that the Chrisleys were their next, like, train wreck of a family, but the Kardashians don't pay their tax. I mean, they pay their taxes, you know?
Yeah. That we know of so far. We've not heard that they don't.
Right. Not yet. So yeah. So the Kardashians are out of E. So Chrisley's, like, has all these more shows on the network and with E, because he's producing some dating show, which I don't want that man to come within 10 feet of me. Like, just... As you said, the shoulders up high, everything slicked back, shiny, pointy. I'm just, like, very uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. And I watched the interview that they did at E! Right after the charges came out. So they had not been convicted yet, but this was, like, a year ago. And the amount that he peppered God into that interview was so disgusting.
Yes, it was a tool.
Oh, it was absolutely a tool. There's nothing about this man that
has to do with God.
It has to do with any God.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Oh, okay, I found a YouTube video yesterday of a woman who is a Harvard-educated lawyer who covers things like this. So, but no, I can't remember her name. It's like, I think it's Harvard Lawyer Lee. It's Harvard Lawyer Lee. Wahoo. Okay, great. So, she sits in front of her very legal looking desk and she explains, it's a smart niche. She explains what happens with the case.
Okay.
And she knows how to pronounce all of the terms because she's a lawyer. So I watched her video on this yesterday and she said there are three main issues. One, they defrauded banks, which we talked about already, which basically they showed that they were a safe risk. So they padded their paperwork. It looked like, oh, they're a safe risk. We can give them a loan.
Okay. Because they were false documents saying they had more money than they did.
Exactly. So if you have money, you can get money. But if you don't have money, you can't get money. You know.
No, of course.
That's how that works. That's how it works. And then they failed to pay their taxes and they lied about it and hid things. Mm-hmm. Like, they moved the company to Faye's name. And then there was wire fraud and obstruction of justice. Those are the three claims. Yes. And, well, so Mark Braddock was the business partner that apparently went to, so he was helping them do all of these things early on. And then in the last couple years, he went to the FBI. I think they had actually closed the case. He went back and said, hey, you gotta reopen this case. I was involved. I will help you get these people if you give me immunity.
Whoa!
Yes.
Tribal immunity? Whoa, I did not see that coming.
Yes. Whoa. Yes. And so, and he apparently had an intimate relationship with Todd, which they talked about in the case.
He was getting paid off, right? Todd was giving him... There was like the way that they were shifting money and moving money around was also sort of like keeping him quiet. Like Todd was paying him money and the family was paying him money so they didn't say they had a romantic affair.
Right.
Which is like, that's reality TV gold. People love affairs. They should have used that.
Yeah, really. The reality show that I want to see is them following what's really going on.
Yes.
With the Chrisleys.
Oh, they'll have that in a second. You know they'll have that in a second.
No, Google I know. But like, I mean, what was actually happening? Like,
yes.
I want an episode that's just the emails being sent back and forth.
So good.
Because Todd Chrisley asked Mark Braddock, one of the quotes was, just create the financials like you always do.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's great. I'm going to try that next year.
And then,
like you always do.
I just don't understand how you live life this way. Truly. Like I get a Con Ed bill in the mail and I'm like, I gotta get this upstairs and pay it.
Yeah, it's very scary.
Make sure this is taken care of.
I know. It's very scary. Well, there's this thing too, and I think it happens with a lot with like cult leaders and very extreme religious groups, is that they believe that they have a message from God that they're supposed to be displaying the wealth in this way, showing the message that if they talk about God enough, that God will be really proud at whatever cost necessary to spread the word. And so that's their, what they say to themselves, which, you know, we've never had a direct communication online from God saying he likes cars or not. You know, he's never, he has not yet, or she has not yet commented on Mercedes or like veneers on your teeth, but that is what people have decided. And so there has to be this like confidence in the background or this excuse that they give themselves that I'm just doing the Lord's work by showing how obnoxiously rich I am so that other people will follow God and they can be rich, which is just that greed, which I don't think God likes greed. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure in the Bible it says not into greed.
Not into greed. Well, okay, so that was his lover. What about Peter? Did you read about Peter Tarantino in 2019? He was their accountant, and he was also charged in the indictment, accused of conspiracy to defraud the United States, aid in filing a false tax return. And that is also very interesting. So they have a couple guys.
Well, so Mark Braddock was a business partner, and I think at some point...
And lover.
And then at some point, it referred to them as like having a brotherhood or something. I don't know. It was gross.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Like, a gay brotherhood. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, is that a euphemism for you guys love each other? So he was the business partner. And then Tarantino was the crooked accountant. Oh, and then one thing I heard, they were just in these emails blatantly looking for an accountant that would do this.
That would twist it.
Yeah, that wouldn't pay their taxes, would help them evade. And they specifically looked for that person.
Incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Was he in love with the accountant too, or maybe just...
I didn't read anything about romance with Todd.
All right, just checking.
The way that they spin too, another thing from the ET interview, is at one point Todd said things came out 4 weeks ago that weren't known to the government. And that was his way of, like, they were talking about the case of like, how's it going? Did you, you know, have you beat the charges yet or whatever? And like, very calmly, smile on his face. Well, things came out 4 weeks ago that weren't known to the government. I'm like, I don't even know how you can assemble a sentence that's just not claiming any ownership for it.
Yeah, without any judgment. Like, you, like, the government just like didn't catch on, guys. It's like, because you lied, because you forged documents.
Right. You withheld information, you forged documents, you moved your money around, you lied,
It's not the government's fault. Not the government's fault.
Yeah, he took himself out of the sentence.
Yes. That, like, as if the government was on a walk down a really rocky path and they tripped because they didn't see that boulder, even though he was the boulder. So, and this will also, Molly, this was a 3-week trial with federal charges of bank fraud, and a jury found that they were guilty of defrauding more than $30 million in loans, conspiring to defraud the IRS, as we said, tax evasion, and they were found guilty. So I was also reading this article that said with Teresa Giudice and her husband, Joe Giudice, they also defrauded and evaded tax issues, but they pleaded guilty to the charges to get like a shorter sentence. And so Teresa was in jail for 15 months. And then after they could take care of their children. They worked it out with the judge so that Teresa went to jail first for 15 months. Then she came back and Joe went in for 42 months, I think. And so I was reading an article that was speculating that possibly because they have grandchildren and some younger children to take care of, and his mother, who knows what she's going to do. She would slip out of those handcuffs so fast, though. I feel like she'd be great in this situation.
Oh, yeah.
She could really thrive in prison.
Faye's been waiting for this.
It's her time. So they were saying something like maybe if they complete guilty, then they would get lesser charges. Because now they're saying something like, isn't it like 40 years in prison?
I think I read 30 years. They could get 30 years of prison.
It's because they did this for so many years. Because I think the Teresa Giudice thing, she said that she didn't realize what the paperwork was signed. She just signed it because it was her husband. And she did what she was told. And she really played. And who knows? Like, who knows what kind of weirdo world they were in? But I don't think they were defrauding for that many years. But it seems that the Chrisleys have been defrauding for a long time. And then had a mini case in 2019. And then were cleared. But then still had another one. Like, they're getting way worse.
Yeah, this is just how they operate.
Yeah.
And they're appealing, right? So they're saying that they're not guilty of this.
Yeah.
So I would think with the sentencing then they would get a longer sentence. But I also think it's fascinating. It feels like, and of course I have not done the research on this, mm-hmm. but the fact that, like, with the Giudices, they did not have concurrent sentences because they had kids. So one went in first so that they they could hand off. To me, that feels like that's something that maybe doesn't happen for people with all amounts of money.
Oh, hell
no. Perhaps that's something that with a fancy lawyer you can negotiate.
Oh, hell no. Oh, it's so corrupt. It's so corrupt. I mean, I think of every time I hear a court hearing something, I think of that poor mom that just lied and said she had lived in a different area so that her kid could go to school. Remember that famous court case that a mother said she was using someone else's address or her aunt's address so that her son could be in a better school district and get education, and she had 5 years of prison. And
I'm just disgusting.
Why would you do that? Why, like, who does that help? What are you showing? What slap on the wrist is that? Like, come on. Like, yeah, it just drives me crazy. And this too, I think, like, that's what's so frustrating with all of this. And why I think I would want to see them fail is because the cockiness, you know, the cockiness of, like, I've always been a rich white man. I've always been evading it. We've always been, like, thinking that we're better than, that we're not the same. Like, if you don't pay taxes, you believe that you shouldn't or shouldn't have to, or there's some loophole you should get around. It's so scammy. And, like, nobody wants to pay taxes. Nobody wants to pay taxes, but also nobody wants to live on a street where just they sit in piles of trash. Like, you want your trash collected. You want there to be
firefighters.
Yeah. You'd love to be able to cross the street because there's a light there that they put in. You know, like, it's just like all these simple things, like a hospital even. Like, do hospitals get public?
Yeah, they're
funding,
public. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd love that. But I think it's so obnoxious is what we're looking at. We're looking at this arrogance and obnoxiousness of the rich white people.
And the conspicuous consumption, which was such a major part of this show, and it's a major part of a lot of shows, but in the YouTube compilations I watched yesterday, so many times where it was like a scene in the show was somebody reading their Christmas list. And the Christmas list was just like, I want an Audi. I want an Hermes bag.
No.
I want a set of Louis Vuitton luggage. It was just a list of brands. And then Todd and Julie would, like, look at each other and look at the camera like, I can't believe these kids. Or, like, one of them was Faye doing it. But that's what they... That's how they mark their success. That's what they pride themselves on.
Yes. And it's like, so, and in this case, it said Tarantino allegedly took steps to obstruct IRS collection efforts, which included hiding income, lying to third parties about their tax returns, and in Tarantino's case, lying to the FBI and IRS CI special agents. So the balls to just be like, I will lie to the FBI?
I know.
That's why they got caught. These people are fans of the show. They are offended. You know, you don't spit where you eat, I guess. That's
right.
Not a word. That's not a saying, but it's like, you just don't. You don't spit on people that are fans of your show. You know, I think that really.
You know, are spending the first 25% of their day watching your show for clues.
Crazy. I know.
Oh, the ridiculousness to so Lindsay. The daughter.
Oh, yeah. She has a podcast, by the way.
She does. And it's called Coffee Convos.
Oh, no, that was.
Right?
is it? No, it's Southern. Her podcast, she was on Coffee Combos, which is one of the teen moms podcast.
But yes.
Hers, I think, is called like The Southern Tea.
Oh.
Yeah. And okay. Lindsay Chrisley is a Southern girl trying to navigate life while staying true to her roots and true to herself and true to her tax evasion parents. yeah, it's like a heart to heart with listeners. Being a boy mom, she knows when not to take things too seriously. Oh, ugh, fuck you saying being a boy mom. Just like being a mom is being a mom.
But so on that ET interview, they talked about her allegation that, and she had a number of times in her life when she was estranged from her dad and from Julie, who's her stepmom, and which is already like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah, if you're estranged many, many times and come back, like, I don't think it's working. Like, it's either like, go, like, if you think like, I'm going to storm out of the house, it doesn't work. So it's going to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an issue there, and it's 95% chance it's with the parent here.
Yeah, if the child's constantly estranged.
If there's a problematic relationship, it's the parent's fault.
Yes.
So sorry.
Yes,
so sorry. Parents. Guys. We're parents. We own that for ourselves.
It will be our fault. It will be our fault.
Whatever it is, there's a problem going on. Oh, So they were estranged at one point. He asked her to meet up. They met up at a barbecue restaurant. Okay, cool.
A great place to have conversations where there's flaming meat.
Yeah, you're in public with flaming meat. Also, if you're estranged from anybody and they ask you to meet up in a public place, it's very public everybody can see. That's not a good sign. And they don't want you to get emotional.
Yeah.
Okay, so she thought that they might actually be reconciling. And then he revealed to her that her brother, Chase, who's her half-brother, mm-hmm. had naked photos and a sex tape, and she might want to be careful.
That's a threat to his daughter.
That's a threat. And it's, I mean, that's its own thing.
Yeah.
But then I feel like any defense, like, okay, no child is going to make that up. No adult child.
Right.
No one's going to make that up about their parent unless there's something massively screwed up going on.
And it's because it's so creepy because your parent talking about holding a sex tape over your head. That's disgusting.
Right.
Right. So nobody would admit that. Nobody would create that fallacy. Yeah.
Right. Nobody. And if by some chance she made it up, it's because honestly, there was something bigger and grosser going on.
Right, right.
And it was like, fine, I can say this and get attention this way or whatever.
Yes.
Same thing with their other son, Kyle? Is that his name?
Ooh, I don't know anything about the other
kids. All the Chrisley heads are just rolling their eyes that I don't know his name. But Kyle, yes. Okay, so the four kids are Lindsay and Kyle, and those are from Todd's first marriage to mm-hmm. a woman named Taylor. And then, mm-hmm. and he married her when he was 21. And then Todd and Julie got married shortly after that divorce and had Chase and Savannah. And then Grayson, who is a teenager now. Mm-hmm. And then they also have another child, Chloe. Well, Chloe is Kyle's daughter.
Okay.
Kyle was only on season one of the show. Mm-hmm. And then he left the show. So again, if you're having problems with two of your children now, Lindsay and Kyle.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not on them. Yeah.
It's not on them. So now Todd and Julie have full custody of Chloe, who is Kyle's daughter.
Okay.
She's a major part of the show. She's a very cute little kid.
Yeah, she's earning her income.
She's a major part of the show. They're completely exploiting her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Kyle had substance abuse issues.
Right.
But now, I guess, has reconciled with the family.
Oy vey.
But yeah.
And what do they think God thinks about all this? How are they spinning this tale now?
Oh.
They're like, God wants me to get another Mercedes. That's what they're saying.
That's what I said. God wants me to... you know, push my child into having substance abuse issues and then take his child from him.
Yes.
To exploit her on my reality television show.
It is bonkers. I really hope they get in trouble because it's just so smarmy.
Yeah.
Us Weekly said something like, their lives are completely put on hold. Duh, bitch. Of course their lives are put on hold. They're convicted of fraud for 30 years. And it's like, they're really like, you know, and also like the network might still air their show because they love it for ratings, but they're not necessarily recording the next season. They're like, it's real. Oh, because right now they're on house arrest until October when they have their final sentencing. And so they're, of course, appealing it. So this one person quoted, like, it makes things real difficult to film a reality show when you're on house arrest. Yeah, that is as it should be. You should not be able to do anything. You're on house arrest. And this quote said, what was it? It was so dumb in Us Weekly. Oh, God, it was so funny. It was like, they feel like they're right back during COVID.
Oh, like, yes. I saw that, too.
Right? Because they're on house arrest, it feels just like COVID all over again. It's like, whoa, what a bummer. Because COVID was not your fault, and this is 100% your fault. So yeah. I don't care.
And also, it is totally different. There was a list of reasons why they can leave, which is, okay, pretty extensive.
Okay, fuck yeah. These people. Screw these people.
They're on house arrest, and they have to be monitored. So I don't know. I would guess they have ankle bracelets or whatever. Maybe. I don't know that. Yeah. Allegedly, they have ankle bracelets. I'm not sure. Okay. They must remain at home except for employment, education, religious or medical reasons.
Oh, yeah.
To meet with their attorney, to go to court, or other activities pre-approved by the judge.
Oh, other, quote, other activities, like getting their veneers resharpened, like getting
those can fall under medical. Like if you are committing mm-hmm. such fraud in the first place, if you have no problem lying to the government from the get, I mean, they could be out of their house
all day long,
10 hours a day.
Yeah, they could be having like a religious dance party.
And honestly, if they still filmed anything that's employment,
Right.
It's
insane. And so what they were also doing, guys, is that when they were making any money off their reality show, they were spending it right away. And what they had, as we've seen, was at least $30 million in loans and fraudulent loans. So they should have been paying back any money that they made. And they did not at all. They were just like, we're done. You know, it's totally fine. And did you see this quote from Braddock, who was one of the in the relationship with Todd Chrisley, the secret relationship? He has text from Todd Chrisley that says that he says, pay cash and we'll shut up. Like they're blatantly like manipulating each other and blackmailing each other. And Braddock claimed that he withdrew four payments of $9,500 totaling $38,000 from his bank account and gave it to Todd to pay off the blackmailer. Oh, wait, there's another blackmailer?
There was a different blackmailer that they together paid off.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is I did not understand that. Okay, so Chrisley is banging Braddock.
Yeah.
Two guys loving their lives. They're great. I hope they fall in love. They have a secret affair. Chrisley paid Braddock money and, like, funds that should not have been sent to him, tons of funds. And that was, like, where some of the money went. And then also there was another blackmailer who was threatening both of them and got money from them. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, is like you can declare that you're being blackmailed and like put that person, like, you know, turn that person in. But you've been basically lying to the system forever. So when you're somebody who's that shady, I just think they like close their eyes and point their fingers and say, like, pretend we do this now. Like, pretend we own a fox and we're doing a fox rescue mission and put money in that bank account. Like, they're just like making up all kinds of titles. There's just nothing that they care about.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to make it political, but as I was telling my husband about this last night, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, yeah, it's just the thing. It's like Trump light.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It's the same thing. It's.
It's just saying like, oh, I'm this, and then raising money or taking out loans and then not paying them back. The other fascinating thing was, I guess this is a connection too, although feel free to, you know, not bring the T word into it. In the ET interview, they said, you know, you're at some point you'll probably not do reality TV anymore. What is it, Todd? What do things look like after? Yeah. What else do you want to pursue? And he said that he wanted to pursue politics, and he'd probably move home to South Carolina to pursue politics.
Oh no. He doesn't know anything about it.
No.
And also he's lied. I figured it out. He's going to say he's reformed. He's going to say God told him this was his next mission, that he did things in his past. Now he has a broader scale and scope of humanity, and that he's the one who should be in politics because he is now one of the people, because he's done the good and the bad. That's how he's going to spin it. They always do.
Oh, he'll find.
They pat themselves on the back for being horrible.
He is a master at spinning things. And this, well, I don't know if this is still true because this interview was before the conviction. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's not still true, but he did seem like he had really been thinking about it and really had it planned.
Wait, what was you saying that he had it planned?
Oh, his answer of moving into politics, he really
was planned.
Seemed like, yeah, well, that wasn't a knee-jerk answer from him. No. He's clearly had eyes on office for a while.
And they all want power. It's like, where can I get power? Like, where can I get the most power? The heroes in this are the FBI agents who are on the DL watching these shows and know what's up. Because they're the whistleblowers and I'm proud of them. You know? And also I'm proud of that one blackmailer because it's like, look, scam the scammer.
Scam the scammer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So they, as we said, they are appealing this and there's nothing serious going out until October. But it's just the most obnoxious, right? Just the most annoying thing ever.
It really is. It's so obnoxious. It's so blatant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a scam that, like, okay, I will say on the scam of things, like, you're not necessarily harming an old lady unless Faye and her friends get stuck in this. You know, that's upsetting. And you're not, like, stealing from children. You're not, like, claiming that you're a cancer cure. But, okay.
I would argue that it seems like they've probably harmed their children.
Their children. Oh, yeah. They're bad parents. Yeah. They're definitely shitty. But I don't think... Because in the scam thing, like, I would be so... I just think this is such a dumb, hubris, obnoxious, greedy scam. You know, it's not even sophisticated. It's not even like a heist. It's not even like anything where you create a scheme and get like a cult that's very creative and gets people on board. No, it's just saying like, I don't feel like paying that and I won't.
Right.
I don't feel like it. Let's lie. Let's put some scotch tape on it and let's go home.
Right.
And really, like, here's the thing, the reality TV star, they're not that smart. We know it, but they thought they were smart. And that's a tough lesson they have to learn, is that we are still laughing at them.
What I think is the most fascinating is, how do your intestines feel on a day-to-day basis? Like, how do you feel okay enough with this? Because... Again,
his intestines must climb up to his shoulders because that's why they're so high.
I guess that's where they are. That's why they're so high there.
Destroy them. They're just levitated. Yeah. They're just like circling. I think it has to be like such a, it's so funny. It's like you see people and you think like, oh, they must be on caffeine or on Adderall and they're running around. It might just be their anxiety that just like makes them run around like crazy. That might be the speed, is because they're just constantly keeping up things and lying. It's so stupid.
It's so stupid. I did make up a little game for us to play.
Oh my God, I love it.
Play. Okay, great. And listeners can play at home as well if they want to. So this is a Mad Lib. And so we're going to create a pitch for an episode for Chrisley Knows Best.
Oh my God, you're so amazing. Yes. Okay.
Okay, great. Name of your high school ex.
I didn't date anyone in high school.
Wow. Okay, we can make it college.
Craig.
Okay, this is great. Okay, gross activity.
Cleaning out your toenails.
Great. A clown's name.
Harmony? It's the first thing I thought of.
Wow,
I don't know.
Okay, I love it. Okay, great. Name of an off-brand stuffed animal or cartoon.
Ooh.
And this is something you can make up, certainly.
I'll say beanbag buddies.
Great. Okay, great. A name of a car rental agency?
Hertz.
Great. A mundane activity?
Washing dishes.
Okay. And then a name of a luxury brand?
Hermes.
There we go.
As they said.
Hermes. Okay. All right, here we go. This
I'm
is what
so
you
excited.
Wrote.
This is our first Mad Libs. This is amazing. You're the queen of games.
I did realize last time I came on, I had a game as well.
No, we didn't get to film it. Yet.
I love a game. I love a game.
Queen, I'm so grateful.
Okay. Craig's cleaning out his toenails begins to annoy Harmony. Beanbag Buddy starts an unlikely feud with Hertz as she washes dishes with Hermes.
That's amazing.
There you
That's
go.
Exactly it. And you know that they're going to give you trailers and those like teasers for washing dishes with Hermes like 5 days before, 5 minutes before every commercial break, like come back when they wash dishes with Hermes. Like it's just going to take up so much time.
If you want to know what an episode of that show is like, just
Mad Libs it up.
Fill in, you just Mad Libs it up and you'll know exactly what the show is about.
That is so funny. That is so
completely
funny.
Inane. Oh my God.
I love this. Molly, you're so funny. You're so talented. You're so cool. And I really want you to watch that show because I think you'll love it.
I can't wait.
I know. You're going to love
it. I'm so excited.
I know. This is amazing. Do you have anything else on Chrisley's?
I don't. That really.
I really don't either. It's just, how can you do that to your... Okay, here's a hypothesis. What if the grandma and her best friend the whole time were like, don't worry about paying taxes? What if they were part of this? Because sometimes grandmas act like they're sort of like the like innocent whatever, but they've been around a while and they know, like, you know, Reverend John never paid his taxes and he was okay. Like, maybe, I wonder if she's like the silent lead in this, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. She's certainly benefiting from it as much as they are. And one of the, like, the background, Todd and Julie will say, like, I guess they'll roll their eyes at their kids about how they're interested in brands.
Yeah.
And then after showing off their closet full of clothes, their closet that's bigger than my bedroom full of clothes. And then they'll say, well, we both came from humble beginnings. So
of
I guess
you have to say that every time you show your Gucci watch, you have to mention it.
Yeah. We came from humble beginnings. So I guess that we treated our kids the way that we wanted to treat our childhood selves. And now this happened and this is the result. So, you know, Faye was there from the humble beginnings.
Yeah. Faye, I don't know. There's something about Faye. I mean, also because once again, we've never seen this show. So.
We never watched an episode. I refuse to pay for it.
No,
that was
I'm
my
not
only
watching that shit.
Yesterday.
No, I'll watch some clips, but I'm thinking like there could be a silent leader in Faye. And I also, oh God, this was the funniest thing. So, and then we can wrap up. Lindsay, his daughter, Todd Chrisley commented on her affairs. And he's like, well, that's not the way to do a marriage. And like she had two affairs during her marriage because they were like estranged but not divorced. And Todd Chrisley's here boning and doing blackmail and whatever he wants. Ugh. He's just such a hypocrite. And that is just such a quintessential part of these rich white collar scams is that everyone is a hypocrite involved. Everyone is just lying through their teeth. It's so stupid. But I'm like, damn, I could have gone out a $2 million loan and just, you know, gone to Barbados and then said, declare bankruptcy. That's what people are doing.
Right.
You know, he isn't that smart, though, because he should have made an offshore bank account. That's where the money should have gone. Number one fan of offshore bank accounts. I've never had one and I don't even know how to do it or what that would be like, but I feel like that's the safest place to be a scammer.
That's rule number one. It's like, okay, I'm thinking about scamming. I gotta create an offshore bank account.
I gotta get to an island and deposit some money somewhere.
And you know what, if you have a kid, and this is a good lesson for us because we do have young children,
boys.
They, if we want to prepare for their future, they may want to be a scammer. And so really, if you have a small kid, what you should be doing is opening that offshore bank account for your kid, just in case, early.
Like you do with a Gmail. You know, you just want to get their name in there, have them be somehow associated with that country, whatever one you choose, and start putting pennies in and let the interest just grow.
And they may never use it.
They may never use it. You know, but maybe you'll use it and you can extort them. It's all a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like having a little bit in crypto. You want to cover your bases.
Yeah. It's a great idea. That's a great idea. You know, we're going to do it. We're going to sell it. This is amazing. Molly, do you have any more shows coming up? Aren't you doing... You just did Harold, not a Herald, right?
I did. I did Herald Night, No Heralds Allowed, which is really inside baseball because the Herald is a form of long form improv, and it's kind of seen as like not the gold standard, but it's something that you have to learn how to do at a lot of places that.
In improv theaters.
In improv theaters. And so the team that I'm on used to be a Herald team at UCB. And so we put up this show with other Herald teams, but said you could perform anything but a Herald. So we have another one of those coming up July 14th at Brooklyn Comedy Collective. So come to New York. Come see the show.
Come to New York, guys. Who cares? Who cares what's happening in your lives? Come on.
Come. July 14th, 7 p.m. It's a Thursday.
Get over here.
Come on. Wear a mask. You have to be vaccinated.
Wear a mask. That's amazing. I'm so excited. And Molly, I want you to be on again because you're the most fun. And no one brings games like you bring games. You really bring it.
Next time it'll only be a game.
Next time only games. Yeah. I just want you to bring games, scam games. I just want you to scam me the whole time. We'll do a shoots and ladders based on scams.
That's a great pitch for your own board game.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. Sign me up tonight. Why not? There's nothing going on. I just have allergies.
Yeah, you got a clean dog,
a dirty set of lungs, and all the time in the world.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Molly.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You're amazing. Thank you to all of our listeners. And guys, if you're a Chrisley head, let us know. Let us know if there's an episode we have to see, and what you think. How you think if you're a big Chrisley fan, they will try to get out of this one. Like, it seems like if you've watched this episode for 10 seasons, they've gotten out of jam. So I wonder if any of our listeners has a feeling or an opinion of how they will get themselves out of this one, because you guys know, you're brilliant. And guys, you can call us on our Hot Tip Hotline, because you know I love a phone call, 347-509-9414. We're on Scamwell Podcast on Instagram, Twitter. Email us at scamwellpodcast@gmail.com. And thank you to Kate and Jesse, our amazing producers and editors. And bye! We'll see you next week. Bye!
Scamwell Podcast Season 2 is produced and edited by me, Caitlin Brodnick, produced and edited by Caitlin Moldenhauer, and edited by Jesse Caron. We are part of the More Banana Podcast Network, which is an all-female owned and run network for women's voices uninterrupted. If you love us, the best thing you can do is rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It will help us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for listening, all of your support. We're so happy to have you here, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.